a total of 5 as an example. I want you to put that in on the side, okay? So Travis said 746 emails in 3 months. Travis, that's awesome, dude. And he said, I'll have 2,000 by the end of the year. I love that. So look how quickly Travis has begun building his business. Somebody said, I saw Bobby. I think, Bobby, I can't see it went so fast, but I see that. Okay, so this is good, gang. So I'm seeing like a whole variety of different numbers here from, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 4, 5, 4, 3, 5. Elizabeth said 0. Okay, so 1. So the people that are saying 0, let me ask you this. Are you telling me that you don't have anybody following on Facebook, nobody on Instagram, nobody on YouTube, nobody on Twitter, like nobody, 0? And if that's the case, that's totally cool. Because here's the fun part about this. We've had so many tribers who have joined our tribe experience who did start from complete scratch and built just a teeny tiny audience. Like the last year, one of my favorite stories was Faye Cornhill over in the UK. Okay, so Faye didn't have tens of thousands, didn't have thousands, didn't even have hundreds. She had 77 people. 77. 77. She did her founding member launch, ended up welcoming 10 people at £500. She generated £5,000 from that founding member launch with an audience of 77. 77, y'all. 77. So what I'm sharing with you is that, again, you don't need a massive audience here, because the most important thing, and this is something I want everybody to realize, is that even if you have a small audience, you can have a tremendous success and create a ton of momentum. And the reason is because you have an advantage with a smaller audience, whether you realize it or not. You have an advantage. And we'll talk about this as the time, as the series goes on, but you have an advantage because here's the thing. With a smaller audience, you will experience way higher conversions because you have the ability to create a more intimate relationship with that audience. You can do things that people with a bigger audience cannot do. You can send personal messages. You can send them, you know, text messages direct messages like DMs. You could send them videos. You could call them. You could do all kinds of things that, you know, people with bigger audiences just can't do at scale. And so what I'm saying to you is use that to your advantage, because what you'll experience is much higher conversion rates. That's the reason why Faye over in the UK was able to welcome 10 members out of a tiny audience of just 77 people and generate £5,000 from that founding member launch. It's pretty incredible, right? Okay, next part that we're going to assess. So we've talked about the community or with the customer. We've talked about the community. Now what I want to do is I want to talk about, get my notes together here. I want to talk about your content. So let me just check in here. So Barbara says, I have over 1,000 on LinkedIn. So Barbara, that's a great point. Thanks for bringing that up, because I didn't mention LinkedIn, but I absolutely should have. So thank you for reminding me of that, because LinkedIn absolutely would count towards this. So Hakur said 800 emails, 1,000 on the Facebook page, 5,000 in a Facebook group. Amazing. So that's another thing. Thank you, Hakur. If you've got a Facebook group, that would actually absolutely count for community as well. So many of you are in such an incredible position, even if you have that tiny audience, and we'll continue to talk about this as well. Okay, so the next area that I want to assess is the content that you're publishing, okay? So let's talk about this. First and foremost, you know, are you publishing content, or have you published content? Have you published content? And what I mean by that, like, have you published any blog posts on your subject matter? Have you published any podcasts or YouTube videos? Have you done any posts on social media as it relates to your content? Have you, you know, ever put out a digital course or, you know, perhaps a webinar or any tutorials on that? If so, I want you to check that box, okay, if you've published content yourself. Now, the interesting part is when we are talking about, you know, the membership site itself, let me ask a quick question right now in the comments. Let me know. Do you plan on you being the subject matter expert or somebody else? If it's you, I want you to type in me into the comments. And if it's somebody else, say somebody else in the comments. Let me just take a quick glance at where we're at. So if you plan to be the expert, type me into the comments. If it's somebody else that you're going to work with, I want you to type somebody else. Me. I see both. Thank you for that. Okay, I see a lot of me's, both. Oh my gosh, I try to keep up. You guys are amazing. You guys are putting me to the test. I see both. I see lots of somebody else. Thank you. I saw that. Somebody else. Me. Collaborating with others. Me. Both. Did I see somebody? Me and my horses? That is awesome. Okay, great. Fantastic. Okay, so we're going to talk about that because when it comes to the content for the membership, can you start a membership without you being the subject matter expert? Yes, and there are many examples. Good one is John Gallagher, who owns a membership site called Herb Mentor. When he started this, he was not the subject matter expert, but he had a passion for the content. So what he did was he reached out to other subject matter experts, and he curated the content for his membership. So this is a really powerful position to be in where what you do is you just focus on serving your audience and understanding like where they're getting stuck. And then you go out and you find that info that is going to be relevant to serve them and to help them move forward. So in that case, you know, in Herb Mentor, he did that. Andrew Warner is another great example with his membership site at Mixergy.com. He's not the subject matter expert. What he goes and finds are the experts to come and serve his community. Okay. So, have you ever delivered, content live? So have you ever done a live webinar? Have you ever done a Facebook Live? Have you ever delivered a presentation to an audience, whether it be a small group or at a conference or a seminar? Have you ever conducted a live workshop? Those are all healthy signs. So, you know, obviously I'm speaking here to, you know, some of our speakers, you know, who may be traveling around delivering presentations at different conferences and within different companies and so forth. I'm also speaking to anybody who's delivered Facebook Lives and trainings and so forth. Like, all of that's a good, healthy sign. Number three, have you ever coached or consulted? And this could be formally or informally, you know, like many times there are coaching or consulting arrangements that are more informal, you know, so, but have you ever, you know, have you ever helped somebody with something? Like, I think of my dad as an example. My dad is like, you know, one of the most talented men I know in so many different areas. And he gets asked questions all the time as it relates to cooking. He's an amazing chef. He gets asked questions all the time as it relates to handyman stuff. Like, my dad can build anything. You know what I mean? So he gets asked questions all the time about in a wide variety of different areas. And so has he, you know, coached or consulted people or helped people? Yes, absolutely. Informally. And then there's a more formal setting, right? Like where people are paying you as a coach or as a consultant to come in and help them. You know, so for example, once a month, I reserve one day a month to work with people one-on-one. And so that's a good example where that's a more formal consulting, you know, role. And so there are both. So if you've got if you've ever coached or consulted somebody formally or informally, I want you to make a note of that. And then lastly, do people ask you questions? Do you get questions? Like, there are many people, I'm thinking of Mary, who, one of her children has autism, right? And so, you know, she has navigated that journey very successfully and has since, you know, become a major authority as it relates to, you know, helping families who have children with autism. But in the early days, she would get asked a lot of questions, right? She would get asked a lot of questions about that. I think of like my friend Susan Garrett, who gets asked questions all the time as it relates to training dogs. I think of my my brother-in-law, Andrew, who gets asked questions all the time as it relates to anything computer-related or development-related or, you know, in that area of as well. And so if you get asked questions a lot about a variety of different things, I want you to make note of that because that's a really important thing as well. So when we're looking and reviewing, like when we're thinking about our content, have you published content before? If so, give yourself a point. Have you published content live? If so, give yourself a point. Have you coached or consulted, formally or informally? Give yourself a point. And do you get asked questions a lot? If so, give yourself a point. And then grade yourself here out of 4. And just put that into the side. Let me know in the comments what your grade there was for your content. Mia says, yes, informally. Okay, so Tony says he got a score of 3. Renee, 4. Somebody, 4. James, 2. 4, 4, 4. A couple 2s, 3s, 1 there. 4, 4, 4, 2. Oh my gosh. You guys are so fast. This is amazing. Okay, I think Stephanie was a 0 there, but most are 4s here. So again, this is a really healthy sign, gang. Okay, awesome. Wow, you guys are fast and furious. So when we are going through and we're evaluating our market, what we're looking for, again, just to review, I'm going to scroll back up here. We're going to start with our customers, right? And we're going to evaluate them. We're going to then transition to our community, the community that we are building, our audience, and we're going to evaluate that, and we're going to evaluate our content. And so when you start adding these up, you start to see where your strengths are in terms of a membership for your market and what you'd be capable of right now, and perhaps where the areas of focus should be, right? And again, I just want to emphasize, when it comes to the audience size, specifically the community, people think that you need to have a gigantic community, and you do not. And I can share story after story. I can share the story of Anna Saucier, who had a teeny tiny audience of 326 infertility practitioners. 326. Not tens of thousands or thousands, 326. And yet she did a founding member launch, ended up generating just over $5,024, which created momentum for her with her membership from a teeny tiny audience of 326. I think of Marianne Kane. When Marianne Kane launched her membership, she didn't have a big audience. She had a teeny tiny audience of just over 250, ended up welcoming 52 members into her membership from an audience of 250. So I'm sharing this because, again, I want to emphasize, you don't need a big audience in order to be able to begin moving forward. But what this does is it gives us a good, clear idea. Now, here's one of the things I want you to make note of. If I were to summarize this in a real quick and fast way, I would look for 3 things. You ready? This is not in your notes. This is just between us girls. Number 1, are you in a market, where there is an ongoing problem? Or number 2, where you are teaching a skill? Or number 3, where you can create convenience. Now let's quickly walk through these. So when I'm assessing a market, I'm looking at this. Is there an ongoing problem? What's an example of an ongoing problem? Let's say that somebody has a dog that's out of control. It's jumping, it's barking, it's biting, it's nipping, chewing. You don't go from a dog that's out of control to a perfect puppy like that. That is a problem that is going to take time to resolve. What if you have a, you are a new parent who's got a newborn baby that is not sleeping, right? Like that's a problem that you want solved. And again, it's not going to happen with one lesson. It's not going to happen with, technique. It's going to take time to solve that problem, right? So that makes for a good membership. When there's a market that has an ongoing problem, another good example of an ongoing problem is weight loss. Somebody doesn't go from being overweight to the perfect weight like that. That's an ongoing problem, right? So that makes for a great market. Number two, when I'm assessing a market, number two is, are they looking to learn a skill? We've talked about this. I love markets that are looking to learn a skill because, again, you don't go from not knowing how to play the guitar to being the next Eric Clapton like that. You don't go from not knowing how to paint to becoming the next Picasso like that. It's a journey. It's a process. Great market for memberships. Now, this one right here, can you create convenience? This is one of those opportunities that's often overlooked, but it is super powerful. Because if you could be in a market where you can create convenience for somebody, what ends up happening is you develop some of the most loyal members you ever could for a membership. For example, Anna DiGilio was a teacher for 22 years, and her area of specialty was taking a kid that does not know how to read and helping them not only learn how to read, but read chapter books really well and love it. And so she was so good at taking kids who didn't know how to read and helping them be able to read really well. She would have parents who were jockeying to try to get their kids into her class, right? And so long story short, Anna DiGilio started sharing lesson plans with other teachers to be able to replicate her success in the classroom. And she was initially selling them one-off and then started selling them inside of a membership. Membership took off, where she was providing lesson plans for teachers. And the teachers absolutely loved it. Why? Because it was so much more convenient. It saved them so much time. Because if you know a teacher or are a teacher or are married to one, my wife was a teacher for 10 years. What I can tell you is that like teachers work on the weekends, they work in the evenings, and what are they doing? They're planning their lessons, right? Their work isn't done when the school day is done. No, it actually is just beginning because now they got a plan for the next day. And so what Anna was doing was she was creating a tremendous amount of convenience for those teachers by providing them lesson plans. So those teachers didn't have to think. They didn't have to plan the lessons. They were given those lesson plans by Anna. And there are so many great examples of this. Patty Palmer did the same thing, providing art lessons for teachers, creating convenience, right? Another good example of a convenience market is Andrew Crouch over in Australia. You know, he provides real estate agents with Facebook ad templates. So real estate agents, they want to advertise the homes that they're selling, but they're not Facebook ad experts, right? And so they don't want to spend the time to have to learn all the Facebook ad stuff. They'd much rather just have it given to them. And so Andrew, that's exactly what he does in his membership site. He provides them Facebook ad templates that save these real estate agents so much time, and those ad templates are proven to help sell homes. So it becomes a no-brainer offer for those real estate agents who continue to pay, and it's a higher price membership. It's $350 a month. But for them, if all they do is sell one more home over the course of the year as a result of those Facebook ad templates, the membership's paid for. It's an absolute no-brainer. So when you can provide, you know, resources, templates, lesson plans as an example, where you're saving people time and creating convenience, that's a very strong kind of membership, right? Because it goes back to our customer that we talked about earlier. What are we doing? We're helping solve an ongoing problem. The ongoing problem for the teacher is they don't have time to do all the lesson planning. The ongoing problem for the real estate agent is they don't have time to learn everything about Facebook ads. But they want the solution, which is, being able to see their kids be successful in the classroom, or in the case of the real estate agent, being able to sell homes from the ads that they are advertising, right? So it's about solving that problem for people. So number one, is there an ongoing problem? Are you teaching a skill? Can you create convenience? Let me know in the comments. Let me know in the comments. Is it problem? Is it skill or convenience for you and your market, do you think? Let me know in the comments. I'd love to hear from you. Okay. I see somebody was asking about Tribe and when it opens up. That will open up the end of next week. So definitely stay tuned for that. Okay, so we got lots of skill, problem, all three from Sean. That's awesome. Oh, I see a whole bunch of all threes. Oh, you guys are coming in fast and furious. Convenience, problem, skill. This is madness. You guys are, oh, I love you. I love the fact that you are engaged and going through. This is amazing, guys. Okay, we know what, seeing this, some of you, a lot of you have all three, which is incredible. So do a happy dance right now. If you got all three, that's amazing. Okay. So we're going to shift gears. How are you guys doing, by the way? Everybody good so far? Give me a heck yeah in the comments. If you're enjoying the training so far, I'm going to crack open the smoothie that I was referring to, as we got started here. Look at you guys. You guys are on fire. Thank you. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Look at all you guys. Heck yeah. This is what I'm talking about. Okay, good. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to shift gears now, okay? So we've evaluated the market, and we've evaluated our business and our ability to be able to serve a market. And as I said, if you didn't score high, that doesn't mean, okay, oh, shoot, okay, I'm giving up on it now. Because I will just tell you this. There are incredible stories of people who have joined us for the Tribe experience, who started from next to nothing, like no audience, zero, zilch, grew a small little audience very quickly, and did a founding member launch, created momentum for themselves, and built on it month after month from that point forward. In fact, I had a conversation just the other day from a gentleman, his name's Caesar, who's down in South America. He sent me a message on Instagram. And he said, you know, Caesar, he serves corporate clients. He's a consultant. He helps them improve their storytelling. And of course, right now, you know, those corporate consulting contracts have dried right up. And so he had heard me talk about, you know, doing a founding member launch and the fact that you didn't need a big audience of tens of thousands or thousands. He had been growing a small audience in a Facebook group. And so he said, you know what? Why not? Why not give it a try? So he did a founding member launch and he ended up welcoming just over 50 members. And he sent me the message the other day. He's like, I can't believe this. He's like, I'm a believer now. He's like, you know, I couldn't believe the momentum that I have created from doing that founding member launch. And this is what I'm saying. You don't need big audiences. It's pretty incredible what can happen with a teeny tiny audience. And Caesar down in South America is a great example of that. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk about membership models. By the way, oops, that was a bit of a chunky line there, Stewie. There we go. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to remind you that toward the end of this live training, for everybody who is here live, we have a super secret segment. You are not going to want to leave without seeing that super secret segment. I'm just going to tell you that. So as we continue to work through this, just remember, it's not over until we say it's over. And that's the benefit, by the way, of joining us live. So if you're watching the replay, you got to come join us live for the next sessions, because we always do a little secret segment and reward those who are with us live. Okay, so let's talk about the different types of membership models. I'm going to run through this pretty quick because you'll quickly get a sense of not only the type of membership model that's going to be right for your market, but which one's going to be right for you. Starting with number one. Again, this is not in your notes because the notes was primarily for the assessment. So if you got another piece of paper or journal, I want you to take notes here as it relates to this. By the way, would it be helpful if we send you my notes? Let me know in the comments. If you guys want my notes, maybe we'll shoot that out to everybody afterwards. Just give me a yes in the comments. Okay, number one, publisher. So a publisher model is essentially, okay, I see lots of yeses. Okay, I'll, I know my team's watching in the background. If we can just make a note of that, we'll try to get everybody my chicken scratches. Okay, awesome. Yeah, okay, you guys are great. So here's what we'll do. What I'll do is I'll save this as soon as I'm done. If you're in the Telegram group, I'll send it to you right away. We'll post it in the Facebook group as well. And